Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Hello, everybody. We are here with the Forward with Purpose podcast, and we have Victoria Robinson with us again. And we're so excited to have her on because we're going to talk about something that isn't wildly done in our movement yet, but it's growing. And so welcome, Victoria. Just tell us a little bit about you, just in case someone doesn't know who you are.
I'm sure most people don't. My name is Victoria Robinson. I have been a CEO and executive director of pregnancy resource centers for 24 out of my 28 year career in pro-life. Today, I am the founder and CEO of an organization called Reassemble, where I do full-time abortion trauma recovery. And I specialize on weekend model retreats for women, for men, and actually, I just added in the last year and a half for couples who aborted their own children. So I can't keep up with the demand, girls. There are more and more people learning about organizations like ours, and they're reaching out for help, which is a great thing. But the demand is heavy and the workers are few.
And so you're doing in-person retreats.
I do in-person retreats. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will still do, sometimes I'll help Mindy with online that like she does, because I think they're great, but I just don't have time. So what's ended up coming for me, what's happening for me in the last few years that I started Reassemble is they're the only things I do now is the in-person retreat model from a Thursday to a Sunday.
And now you're going to other places. So you're doing this nationwide, traveling around, going to where the groups are bringing you in to do them.
Correct. I mean, Reassemble is my own nonprofit, so I do Reassemble retreats, but Pregnancy Resource Center directors have been contacting me to come to their cities, and they put together the retreats and they have me lead them so I can teach and train them how to do their own retreats. And so, you know, maybe they've been doing the weekly model. Maybe they've never done a retreat. They want to now add that to their repertoire. So they'll bring me in to show them how it's done. And from start to finish, they have my experience, my help from when they start from looking for the venue to when the event finishes and what happens post-retreat. So I'm involved with them sometimes for 6 months at a time, depending on when we schedule a retreat for them.
That's exciting. Well, we want to talk about the men and the couples. And I want you to share, if you would, about your first men's retreat and just what that was like for you going into that and what God did. And then we want to talk a little bit about just, I think what I'd like you to share with the other leaders who are listening is what you've learned about doing men's retreats and couples, what's different, what's the same, you know, just all those kinds of things that could help them.
So I was never going to do men's retreats. Let's start there. I have been doing women's retreats for 28 years this year. And several years ago, a couple different pastors asked me why I didn't do men's retreats. As a matter of fact, men would ask me at the book tables when I was speaking at and still do at Pregnancy Resource Center banquets, they would approach me and say, "Do you have anything like that for men?" And I would tell them, "No, I don't." And I didn't think about it because my attitude was, I have no business doing a men's retreat. First of all, I'm single, so it didn't seem right. And because you spend the entire weekend together, mm-hmm. and you're at an Airbnb or a retreat center. And then I'm a woman. So I felt like I had no business ministering to men in this issue. Now, I have other guys that work for me that I would send the men to that contacted me that had done the Healing a Father's Heart by Linda Cochran. And I would start the conversation with them. And then I would pass them on to these other guys. Well, a couple different pastors at two different events approached me and said, "Why do you not do men's retreats like you do for the women?" And I told them the same thing. Well, I have no business doing men's retreats. And I gave them the same answer. And they said, "But you're missing something. You're missing it. You're missing the whole point of part of a man's healing is that you represent the women they hurt." And I think you really need to keep praying, Victoria, because I think you're missing an entire ministry that you could put under the umbrella of Reassemble. And since that came from two different pastors, I started praying about it. I decided to throw the fleece out. Well, the men's retreat, the first one, was full in no time. But on that Thursday morning, driving to that men's retreat, months before, I was already having not sleeping well, wondering what have I done. I called Linda Cochran, who's a dear friend of mine, and said, "What have I done?" And Linda said, "The Lord's prepared you for this, Victoria. You can do this." And she really helped me through the process. But on that Thursday morning, when I was driving to the men's retreat, because as I said, we start Thursday and evening and we end on Sunday at noon, I was having it out with Jesus, you guys. I'm being honest. I was ugly. And I was like, "Why did I agree to this? I cannot believe this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. I always stick my foot in my mouth." I mean, it was the whole 45-minute drive to this retreat. So when I got there, I was alone before the men started arriving and before the guys that work with me. And I was still having it out with him the whole time. I was still praying through the house, you know, getting it prepared, but I was also in the interim going, "What the heck?" And I just said, "One and done, Lord. One and done. I will do this one because I've agreed. It's full. These men are coming. Nobody's backed out," because I kept hoping they'd cancel. Nobody did. And then I even said to the Lord and to my best friend, I called her and I was having a cow, Valerie, and she was calming me down, talking me off the cliff. And I was like, "Lord, men don't even talk. What in the world am I going to do with a bunch of men who men don't talk? We're the ones who talk." From the moment those men started talking at 6:30 on that Thursday night, girls, they didn't shut up till Sunday afternoon when we were finished. And when we did a wrap up, them unbeknownst to them about my powwow with Jesus on the way to this retreat, the men started telling me through tears, "I'm going home a different man to my wife, to my children. I'm going to be a different coworker, a different friend. You can never stop doing this because had it been a man leading this, I would have never opened up the way we've opened up to you. You didn't make us feel judged or condemned." I'm sitting there just crying. And they think it's because I'm so moved by their words, which I was. But it was also, I was reflecting back to that Thursday, having it out, telling the Lord, "I'm finished. I'm not doing this ever again." And one man said, "Please, Victoria, don't ever stop doing these retreats for men. You have to be the one that leads." And I told them the truth. And I said, "You guys, I actually told the Lord this is it for me." And they convinced me otherwise just by their word, not even after that comment. They had already done that. They didn't even know it by what I witnessed happened throughout the weekend. So it was powerful for me. It was the first of many. As I said, I can't keep up with the demand. Women are calling me saying, "Please help my husband. Please help my boyfriend, my son, my nephew, my grandson. I know this is why XYZ, because he's never gotten over the abortion. He needs help." So men are hurting too. It is not just women.
Yeah, wow. I love that story. I've heard that story before, but I love and I'm thankful that you shared it with us because I know many of us would be questioning men. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like the Lord's calling me to that space. And of course, there's nobody coming, so I don't have to worry about it. But makes a difference.
But Mindy, that's very wise because I do believe you have to be called to
Right.
doing this with men. And I'm not any better than you are, Miss Mindy. We're just in two different ministries that God has gifted us to do. But there's no question in my mind. There was on that Thursday. There's none at all throughout that weekend and what I heard from these men on Sunday. I do want to clarify this. I am still a single woman. I do not stay overnight with these men. at the weekend retreats, when I said to the pastor, this one particular, what are you crazy? I can't spend the night with a bunch of men. He said, of course you don't, but you stay off campus, but you need to be leading the sessions every day.
But
And
you have support guys that are
I have support.
alongside you.
Yes, stay with them all weekend, and they're there to meet their needs. If an emergency came up, they'd just text me and I'd come right over. But I just want to clarify that for the women that are listening or the
No,
men,
that's
I
good.
do
That's
not
good.
spend the weekend with you there. I'm
Yeah.
in the same house.
Yeah. So
Would
before
be
we get to
inappropriate.
the, yeah, before we get to the couples, I just want to know what's different about men that we ought to know, because I know there's another gal, Amy Garner. She's in Ohio. She's going to come on, and she's leading men through these studies as well. And I met her last fall. And so I know there are some women, until the men get raised up, we have to step into this space. And so, like you said, it is a calling, and I don't feel that calling personally. But
You know,
for
Mindy,
those that do,
yeah, go
what
ahead.
is different? What have you learned?
About the difference between the men and the women, that we're a lot alike, that we're suffering from the same trauma. The one difference that I can pinpoint for you is this: God created women to give life and to nurture. We bring forth life. That's why the enemy hates women so bad, because he knows we are the ones who bring forth life. When a woman discovers she's ended the life of her own child, that she participated in the abortion of her own child, she's devastated, because that's a natural, whether you're a Christian or not, that is something natural that's within us. It's not natural to kill our own children because of the women's role as the nurturer, as a,
Nurture, yeah.
Now, let me tell you about the men. The reason the men are finding this abortion to be so devastating to them is because men are protectors. God created them to protect their women, to protect their children. So when they come to the realization that they did nothing to protect their child, or they couldn't, because the woman had an abortion without his permission, that happens as well, then they're just as devastated, because they know they failed to protect their own child when they realize what an abortion did to their unborn child. Now, I will tell you that I have had men in my retreats who have said, well, I didn't even know, and I found out years later. So why am I feeling the guilt? Why is it my fault? And I have to look at these men and tell them the hard truth. Were you having sex with a woman who wasn't your wife?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's the part that you play, because you shouldn't have been having sex with a woman who wasn't your wife. So it comes back to, we all have to accept responsibility for our parts. And we can go back and figure that out. And that's what these retreats do. So men and women are not much different with the trauma. Yes, Linda.
I was just wondering, as far as the men go, what is the biggest barrier? I mean, for most of us that have wanted to reach out to men for so long, getting them to come forward, what's that big barrier for them? Is that different than for the women, as far as recognizing the need for healing and taking that step?
I think it is, Linda, to the point where, until a man gets to the place where he says, I'm sick and tired of feeling this way. But men, as we all know, they put on this facade that I've got to be tough and I can't show people that I'm falling apart inside. Or they say, why do I even feel this way? So they convince themselves they're the only one, or they're crazy, because they've been told it's not your body, it's not your choice, sit in the corner and shut your mouth. We've emasculated men in so many issues in this country, but we, in the issue of abortion, they've been convinced by the world, you don't have a say. I had a man that said to me, you know, Victoria, my one greatest regret in life is that when my wife and I were married, they're divorced now, she was in law school. And that's why she was telling him, I'm having an abortion. I'm not going to not be an attorney. And he said, I kept my mouth shut, because I thought I was supposed to keep my mouth shut. My regret is that I never opened my mouth
That
and did
protective role.
exactly. And he said, she may have done the same thing, but I'll never know had I opened my mouth and said, you don't need to do that, honey. We'll get through this. I'll do whatever I need to do while you're in law school. You don't have to quit law school. He said, I said nothing because I thought I had no rights to say anything. So men feel that their hands are tied. They feel like they don't have a say. And I want men to know, you are just as important to that unborn child. You are the father, and you are just as much responsible and the parent of that child as the woman is. So once men start stepping up, I think in this area, we're going to see a big change in the abortion. One guy asked me once in an interview not long ago, he said, Victoria, do you think if abortion was illegal that you would have still had an abortion? I said, first, that the first way I'm going to answer that question is if my boyfriend had stepped up and done what he should have done, I wouldn't have had an abortion. So let's not put the blame on illegal or not illegal. But if it was illegal, I mean, I don't even like to speed. So yes, that would have deterred me. But the bottom line is we have a generation of men who need to step up and do the right thing as well. And I'm convinced as these men start being healed and knowing they're forgiven and they walk in the truth of that and their identities in Christ and no longer in what they did in the past with these abortions, they'll be able to speak out, and people need to hear from men.
Yes. Well, and I believe once the men r get raised up, they're going to actually lead us into this battle the way they should be.
The way they should be, and then we don't have to.
And you talked about that first group. I want you to talk about this a little bit. You guys did chapter 9, you did the memorial, and you did chapter 9, and there was a response and reaction from them that was different than we've had before. And I want to know, are you still doing the last chapter? So kind of share that with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. These men, they need to give dignity back to their children.
Not the
They need
memorial
to,
part, chapter 9. Do you remember that?
acceptance. The
Except
acceptance.
chapter?
Oh yeah, there, I'm telling you, there aren't very, they're all similar. There's so many similarities that I can't really pinpoint for you that it's so different. I think that the biggest thing with doing men's abortion recovery is you need to know that you're being called to it. Because it's a different beast as far as from what the men told me. Their words were, and one guy actually said it, and then the other men chimed in. And I hate even saying this because I don't want it to sound like what I'm not trying to make it sound like, but these men looked at me and said, I don't know that I would even have experienced this with any other type of woman. Because it's your personality. It's the way you called us out. You weren't intimidated by us when we got angry. You weren't intimidated by us because we're men, but yet you were gentle. And that, of course, is because I know I've been called. So the Lord did that. So I think I would say with men's, you've got to know that you're called. You've got to know that you're called. Yes.
You mentioned anger, and I was wondering about that as far as the difference, because you've got a lot of men that didn't
Yeah.
have a voice, that feel like they were not able to do what they would do. Do they deal with the anger? You mentioned, that you were able to handle their anger. How is anger different for the men?
Well, they're men, so they could. These are big. Some of these guys were big guys. I mean,
Yeah.
for some women, it would be like, oh my God, oh my God, call 911. I mean, their anger wasn't. One of the things I've been able to do over 28 years, you guys, is I don't take things personal when in these retreats. When women throw things at me, when they curse at me, when they stand up and they're angry and they're men that are angry, I just sit there and first of all, I know Jesus has my back. And if nothing's going to get crazy out of hand, I look at these men knowing this is the first time these men have ever felt the freedom to talk
Express it.
about what they've been living with for decades because they have felt silenced. Talk about women being silenced. These men are walking around that they want to just be in rage, but they have to keep it together because you're not supposed to be angry. On the last day, one of the another thing that the men have told me on the last day at one of the retreats was, tell us what to do. We're men, Victoria. We want to fight this fight. We want to protect women and children, but we don't know what to do. Just tell us and we'll do it because that's what men are. Give us a task and we'll complete it. So I guess, and I had men say that to me at retreats. They'll say, you're not afraid of us, are you? On the second or third day, when I call them out and they're getting all mad and getting real like angry, where some people would probably want to run in a corner. But I'm not. And I can look at them and I want to say, I know who's standing behind me. He's got an whole army of angels. You try, don't get too close to me. But I don't take it personal. And I understand that's how they're working through their pain. These guys
So
are
if we
insane.
get them healed, we're going to have an army of warriors, right?
Linda, I am convinced, and I've said this a gazillion times, and I know Mindy's heard me say it. I am completely convinced that abortion recovery is the backdoor approach to ending abortion,
Amen.
because we will have an army of multi-millions of people who are walking wounded right now from their abortion trauma. And when they're healed, they'll speak out. They, even if it's not like we do publicly, it'll be with that coworker, with that son who's having sex with his girlfriend or got her pregnant, and he's saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm having an abortion." If he's a father who has an abortion in his past and he hasn't dealt with it, he's going to say, "Okay, son, I understand. That's the best choice." But if he's a man who has dealt with his pain and gone through the trauma, he's going to sit his son down and say, "Son, I know how you feel. I felt the same way when I got my girlfriend pregnant, but this is what I found out. Abortion is not the answer. It has almost destroyed me. It has harmed my marriage with your mother. There
Right.
are other alternatives. There's adoption, or we'll help you raise this child, but abortion can't be the answer."
Yes. So let's talk about couples. How did that get started? How did that first retreat go? And tell me, I want to know, I guess I'm really curious. Okay, now I your couples are limited to the couples, they both have to share that abortion experience, which makes perfect sense. But how, because now you're managing marriage issues. This is bigger than just abortion. I mean, it always is, but now we're getting into marriage. So tell us a little bit how it got started and what's going on in there.
It was a God thing how it got started. I mean, let me see how much time we've got. I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest version. I had planned another men's retreat this particular month, and the dates in Seaside, Florida, at a beautiful house that was gifted to me by a donor. And it was full. It was full for the men. And one of the men coming, his wife was coming the following month to the retreat that I had for the women. And so a couple of the men, very legitimate reasons, one had to go to Dubai of all places, and one had something come up with a wife telling him, "We can't miss this wedding of a friend." I don't remember. It was very legitimate. So I start going, "Lord, what is happening?" Well, I thought for sure, this is about 2 months before the retreat, and they were set. They were done. They paid their entry fee. It was done. So I started praying, and the Lord kept putting these two people on my heart, this married couple. And so I was like, "Wait a minute, Lord, wait a minute. No, you cannot be serious. You cannot be serious. No, not. I'm already accepted men's retreats, Lord." And I knew it was in my heart to do a couples retreat. I knew this couple should do it together. So I said, "All right, Lord, I'm going to put a fleece out." So I did on Facebook. Within an hour, couples were writing me
Wow.
saying, "We're a couple that are married. We had an abortion 46 years ago, 22 years ago." I couldn't believe it. So here's what I said to the Lord. "This is the last fleece, Lord. Okay, Lord, fine, it's full. But this couple have already got planned to come January and February. And their abortion was 27 years ago." So I called the wife and I said, "Hey, I want to throw something at you, and you tell me how you feel about it. And I want you to be honest. I have an opportunity, instead of doing a men's in January and a women's in February, to do a couples, to turn that January retreat into a couples, and I'm going to move the men's to April. So we can put your husband in the one in April. You can still do the one in February. Or what do you think about doing it together in January as a couple?" Phone was dead. Heard nothing.
Oh,
Silence.
gosh.
So I said, "Hello, are you still there?" She was crying.
Oh.
She said, "Last night, my husband said to me, just last night, 'I just wish we were doing this together,'
Oh.
or 'I wish you were going in January and I was going in February. I'm really nervous doing this before you do it.'" She said, "I don't even have to ask him. We're in." That's how the very first couples retreat came to be. When I did the first couples retreat, which was last January, I was again on the phone with Linda Cochran, if I'm being honest with you. I called Linda again. "Linda, now God's good." She said, "Victoria, why do you think the Lord had you do men's retreats? Why do you think you've been doing all these years women's retreats? because he's prepared you now for couples retreats. You can do this. She is the most, oh, I love Linda Cochran. I talk to Cochran. And so she, the woman changed my life. Her Forgiven and Set Free study has changed my life. I went through it myself 28 years ago, and look where today I'm, what I'm doing. And there's great ones out there. I don't want anybody to think there's not. There are, but for me personally, I won't ever do a different one ever. So she said, "You've already done Healing a Father's Heart with men. You've done Forgiven and Set Free with the women. This is just going to be married together." So that's what I did. I came up with a new schedule. I came up and prayed over how it was going to look. I said, "Lord, they're not going to know if I do this wrong. I'll figure it out in the weekend." I had a one of the men that was at my men's retreat, the most recent, him and his wife came because he had told me I want to help. So him and his wife came, and then another couple, my best friend Valerie and her husband, they came, and so they were my couples who assisted me, cooked, and just served. It was one of the most incredible weekends of my life, not only for me, for them. It changed them individually and it transformed their marriages. One of the couples, I will tell you, the wife was very angry when they got there on Thursday. And it was him who didn't really want to come. I don't even know how she decided to come. She was so angry. And I thought, what are they even doing here? And I'd always go to my room and go, "Lord, good luck." I mean, I'm like being serious. All right, Lord, I'll do what you've called me to do. You put the words in my mouth, but this one's tough. On Saturday afternoon, in our group session, in front of everyone, this very prideful woman on Thursday stood up in front of her husband and humbled herself and was weeping, grabbed his hands and said, "I'm asking you for forgiveness for the hell I have put you through for over 4 decades because I have had so much resentment towards you and I have hated you for not stopping us when we aborted our son." She just wept and wept and said, "Please forgive me." But also she said, "Thank you that you could have left and you stuck it out with me." It was so powerful. And that couple, we now help at my couples retreats. So two of the couples in that couples retreat both have said, we want to help. From that moment on, from that Sunday, they said, "When do we get to do what those couples just did for us?"
That's awesome.
So God is transforming marriages, He's transforming people. And I'll tell you, I am just very grateful and thankful that he chooses to use me because he does all the work. And I tell all the participants that I vet, that I talk on the phone before they come and that are interested in hearing about a retreat, I promise you, if you show up, Jesus will show off.
And he does, doesn't he? And
Every
so
time.
you said you made comment that you had to do some adjusting for the couples. What were those adjustments?
Well, they're two different books, but they're very similar. There's a couple chapters that are different. So I had the men do that and the women do that separately. But they would, I told them, go out on the beach, do each of your chapters together, and or go in your room and do them together. If you want to discuss them, that's fine. But Linda's brilliant. What Linda did was really with both of them is she almost knew that that could eventually happen, but there's still enough things in the men's book where they're getting what they need as men, and the women are getting what they need in the women's book. So when we came together, I would take questions from both books and we would discuss them, and the men would discuss theirs, and the women would read from the questions from their husband's books. It works, you guys. It worked beautifully. There were not any issues, and the memorial. Oh my God.
Oh,
They
I
got
bet.
to name their. Listen, I got to tell you this one thing about this one story, another couple's retreat. They're sitting there talking, and the wife was a little bit angry about, what do you mean we're gonna name I've never ever known the name or the gender or anything. And her husband pipes up and goes, looks at her and turns and says, "Oh, I do." And she went, "What? What do you mean you do?" He said, "I've always known." And she said, "What do you mean?" She was kind of a little bit angry. So She said, "Oh, really? Then tell us, tell the group what our baby was and the name that you've given our baby." She didn't know, boy or girl, she didn't know anything. And he looked at her and he looked at all of us. And he said, "You're giving me permission to do this in front of everyone instead of us alone together?" She said, "No, I want you to say it now in front of everyone." And he said, "Our baby was a boy and his name is Michael." And she came unglued, you guys. I mean, crying, not unglued. Does that mean she was sobbing, 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 sobbing? And I turned and I looked at her and I said, "What's going on?" She said, "As soon as he, right, the moment he was about to say the words, 'Our baby was a boy,' the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, 'You have a son.'"
Oh, wow.
It was one of the most powerful. And there are many, you guys. I shouldn't even say one of. There, one of for me is about a gazillion in 28 years, but it was one of those at the very top that I will never forget. That was so Holy Spirit and so God that He wanted to confirm to her, "Your husband's about to tell you
Yeah.
that you have a baby boy, and his name is Michael. I want you to know without a doubt that that was from me." So he's just so precious to drop that in her heart so
Yeah.
that she can know that her baby was a boy.
Awesome.
Was a
Awesome.
son.
Well, any other encouragement you have for leaders who want to get started with men or with couples?
I would say just continue to pray about it. Reach out to me if you have questions. I'll be glad to help you. You can find me at reassemblelife.com. You can email me at victoria@reassemblelife.com. I will help you in any way that I can. Pray, 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 pray. Make sure you get confirmation if you're going to go in that direction. If you want me to come and do a couples retreat for you or a men's retreat the first time, I would be more than willing to do that. When I started Reassemble 3 years ago, you know, I've been doing these retreats 28 years, but 3 years ago is when I knew the Lord called me. It's time now to do full-time abortion recovery ministry. I was like, "Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to duplicate myself? I'm getting all these requests for retreats. I'm just one person." And then all of a sudden, the phone starts ringing. Pregnancy center directors, "Hey, Victoria, I've been hearing about these retreats you're doing. Can you come show us how to do them so we can do them?" So now there are anywhere from 10 to 15 retreats going on all over the country. They may not call them reassemble retreats, and I don't care if they don't. I never require that they do that. I don't care. I'm just thankful to know they're doing them, and that after allowing me to come in and do this while they trained and sat beside me and co-facilitated, they're carrying the torch. That's how we duplicate ourselves.
That's awesome.
So I between reassemble retreats that I conduct and retreats for churches, believe it or not, churches are contacting me because they have women in their church and men who want to start these ministries and pregnancy resource centers. I can't keep up with the demand. I'm doing a retreat a month on average. And as you guys know, they're intense.
Yeah.
And but until I have enough people that I can send them to when they contact me, I'm going to keep on keeping on, and the Lord sustains me.
Awesome. Awesome. Linda, did you have something else you wanted to add?
No, that's very inspiring, and we appreciate your time to share with us what God's doing. And it is just an exciting time to be in this ministry because God is just bringing so many fresh ideas and fresh people and raising up. And it's a delight to be a team, to be part of
It is.
it.
I'm honored to work with both of you. I'm honored to call you colleagues and even more so to call you friends. Thank you for having me. Anytime you guys want to talk, have this discussion, all you've got to do is send me a message and say, "Hey, you want to do another call and another Zoom and another interview or conversation." I don't even consider this an interview. It's a conversation.
Right. Yes.
I'm in. I'm in. Anything I can do to help anybody in our field, I am willing to do.
Thank you, Victoria.
And I adore, you know, both of you. And Mindy has a special place in my heart. Mindy went through one of my reassemble retreats, and I've
The
connected with her
first
through
one?
the first one that I did as a
Wow.
reassemble retreat. So she's just, you know, she's my girl.
Love you.
I love you too. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.